What's up? This is Tammy Topics. I'm here with the Male Models Podcast.
What's up, modelers? It's Josh Peck. I'm here. My cholesterol is literally 280 points, and it's good to have a high score except in cholesterol.
I don't even know what a high cholesterol means. What does that mean? Is it blood pressure?
No, it means that when you go to the doctor's office, your doctor looks at you with like a really stern gaze and goes, we got to do something about this.
But what is it? You eat too much fried chicken?
And you go, I'm 35. I'm young. I'm vital.
You're 35?
Yeah, baby. At least I don't lie about my age or I'm not weird about it like some people.
Who are you projecting towards?
You're 33.
I'm 24. I'm a young, hot, breedable guy.
You're 33. You're in your early 30s, close to your mid.
Barely.
You missed it.
Missed what?
It. Like, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now.
What is it?
You know what it is.
I don't know what you're talking
Whatever
about.
Whatever Miles Teller and Timothy Chalamet have. We don't have that.
I ask you something. I think Miles Teller is awesome. Is he like the new guy?
He's having a moment.
Yeah, why? Because of Top Gun?
Yeah, doesn't hurt.
And they filmed that 3 years ago?
If you can look hot while not, you don't even have to be great, but just not suck in a big successful movie, you're it as a man.
Oh, have you ever been close to being it?
Nah.
Yeah, right.
Nah, I'm going to have to be it in like a weird roundabout way that I haven't quite discovered yet. And the verdict's still out on if it'll happen.
You are it.
Yeah, I'm it. In the digital creator community.
Yeah, you're fucking crushing it there.
Yeah, I'm it in the DCC.
Have you ever done a Comic-Con or like one of those things?
Yeah, I once did something called Influencer Con where me and Nash Greer charged money for photos of ourselves.
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it.
Is this right when Vine started?
This was hot. This was 2014.
Peak Vine when you were like the most followed person on that app?
It was probably like a year later, but it was like me and him and King Batch. And I remember it was like an offshoot of this Chicago, like Wizard Con, I think it was. So there was like a traditional Comic Con and then there was like a smaller one for influencers. And I got paid 15,000 buckaroos. Pretty sure they didn't make back their advance.
Can I talk to you about something serious?
Yeah.
Back then, Influencer Con, there weren't that many people on the internet, not that many people making content. How do you think it's changed from back then in 2014 till now in 2022?
It was like mining for gold before the whole world knew that gold was valuable. You know what I mean? Like, there was no barrier for entry, but there was also no sort of reference or case study for this. So doing it in 2014 felt like the Wild West. Like, this could all go away tomorrow. And now it feels like a very viable career option for people. It's like people aspire to be an influencer, where at that time it was like, are we just a kind of a joke, like a freak? Like, is this a freak moment?
You more stumbled into it rather than pursued it at that time.
Yeah, I totally stumbled into it because obviously I'd been working in a different thing. And even though like my success was sort of always up and down, there was never a question that that was like my main thing. And then all of a sudden there was this other sort of growing opportunity that was this income stream. And it just, yeah, I would have been remiss to turn my back on it.
The reason why I'm asking is because at VidCon, I almost feel like the term influencer and content creator has completely changed.
Yeah, no, there was no one to compare yourselves to. And I think at that point, like, and I don't mean it with this negative connotation, but there was this idea that like, you know, was it just, were we all just like a bunch of one-hit wonders who were sort of capitalizing off of this thing that would be gone tomorrow? Were we pogs, basically?
Oh, got it. How much was your first brand deal?
It was $15,000, which was actually not bad for McDonald's. But that was like around the Olympics, and that was like a proper. But I talk about this in my book, Happy People Are Annoying, available everywhere for a time. It's heavily discounted. My first like real brand deal was with a dating app called Badoo, and it was $5,000.
And at that time, were you like mind blown? Was like, oh shit, they're paying my day rate for shows? Like, did you see this as a viable source of income that you can keep pursuing?
No, I remember they reached out to me and I had seen other people make videos and I was just excited because it was like, oh, finally, I've been watching other people make money doing this thing and maybe I can get in on this as well. And they said, do you have a PayPal account? And I was like, no. And they were like, well, can you make a video and post it tomorrow? And if you do, we'll send you this money. And I'm like, listen, worst case, I get screwed over here. I delete the video and it's done. The moment I posted, I got an email from PayPal and it said, you know, $5,000 has just hit your account. And I was like, they take taxes out? And PayPal was like, we don't handle that. You have to do that with your accountant. And I was like, guess they're not getting taken out then. Just kidding, IRS. I pay more than my share. But yeah, and then in the same moment, I got an email from Badoo saying, thank you. That was great. We'd like to do another one next week. And I was like, no way. And suddenly, like, I mean, literally up until that point for years, I had been making like anywhere between $50,000 and $100,000 a year if I was lucky doing something. But, you know, that was, you know, supporting my mom and I. So we lived off of it, but we never saved a dollar. And we never knew whether or not, you know, the next job was going to come in a month or in 9 months. And that's a crappy place to be. You're in a constant holding pattern.
Do you feel like social media has helped you escape that holding pattern to where you feel a little more comfortable because you can kind of have two jobs now?
Yeah. I've made more money in social media, I would say collectively, than I've made as an actor over 20 years.
Wow.
It's probably pretty even, but it's, I mean, crazy all things considered. I remember 2014 getting my first check from Vine. 2013.
How old are you at that point?
I'm 2013. I'm 27, 26. Okay. I'll never forget that year because I had auditioned for this TV show, a pilot for Amazon, one of their first pilots. I had also had my Chris Brown dance movie that had just come out. No big deal. I just told you this story when we were hiking. I have this dance movie I did come out. And my buddy is directing a Kevin Hart movie for the same company who made the Chris Brown dance movie. I'll let the audience guess which one did better. Anyway.
Did the Chris Brown dance movie come out in theaters?
Briefly.
Okay.
So I remember that movie's coming out and, you know, I started getting really big on Vine and Instagram and all this stuff. And so the movie studio is like leveraging my social media following to help promote it. And my buddy's directing this Kevin Hart movie. And I said to the president of the studio, I said, oh, I'd love to do something else with you guys. Please give me another role. I need this. And I get a call from my buddy saying, hey, there's like one day of work on this movie that I'm doing with Kevin Hart to play like this disgruntled best man who gives a really crappy best man speech in this movie, The Wedding Ringer. Would you like to do it? And I said, yeah. And that day was like one of my best days on a set ever. I wrote all my lines. I'm crushing it. I'm basically performing to 200 extras who are all like part of the wedding party in the movie. They're cracking up. Kevin Hart's like dabbing me. I'm like, never let me go, Kevin. I'm like, you might be like not the biggest man, but you got the biggest heart. Literally, pun intended, Kevin, biggest heart. And it was just like a red letter day. It was just the greatest, one of my greatest times on set. I remember that happens. Then I auditioned for this Amazon show that my friend who's directing the Kevin Hart movie has also created and is the showrunner for the pilot. I auditioned for it. He calls me and goes, Josh, you killed it. I'm watching the video right now. I said, who, me? Yeah, I guess.
I showed up. I did my thing.
I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm in a good place.
Yo, I'll call you back. I'm doing Vines right now.
Yeah, I'm sort of busy. Cut to Joe, and who's a freshman at Montclair State at this time, being like, one day I'm going
to
get him.
Painting myself in blue, going out as a Smurf to the Halloween party.
Jerking off to my poster on your wall. And so he calls me. I said, great. And so then I go and I test with our friend of the show, Jay Chandrasekhar, the great director who will be on the show next week. Right, Joe?
I'm fucking pumped, man.
Yeah, you are.
We're going to talk to him.
Probably. So he's directing the show and it's really exciting. And so I auditioned for that and they're like, okay, well, you did another good job, but yeah, maybe we'll have you chemistry test with some of the other actors for the third audition. I'm like, no need. And so I remember that happens, right? During that week, I auditioned for another show and get a call back for that show the same day they go, we liked you so much, we want to test you for this other show.
Wow.
Another show. So here I am. I got my buddy's show that I'm like now going in for my third test on. And I got another show that we're leveraging. Suddenly my agents, my managers are perking up. They smell money. It's like sharks with blood in the water.
Josh Peck, he's it. He's the next guy in town.
I was like, I don't recognize his phone number. Holy shit, it's my agent calling me for the first time. They say, listen, I think we got some power moves here. We're going to tell your buddy show to give you the part. Otherwise, you're going to go in and test for this other show because they can probably pay you better, but they'll have leverage for your buddy show if they just give you the part. I go, great. Get a call the next day. You got the show. They didn't want to risk losing you, and they knew they couldn't match the money from the other show that wanted to test you, so they just gave you the part. Do you want to do it? I go, oh, unbelievable. I have the best experience ever. Suddenly, I remember I was going to get paid $35,000 an episode for 10 episodes.
That was the highest you'd ever been paid for a show?
Yeah.
Wow. I have a question.
Please.
For season two, does your salary go up even higher per episode?
It's usually a 5% bump, which is standard.
And then season three, can you leverage it even higher?
Well, in success, you do a little something called renegotiation.
In season three.
Right. And there's an old adage which says that in the first season, the actors work for you. In the second season, you work for each other. And in the third season, you work for the actor.
Got it.
Because, yeah, inevitably, because at that point, they can't really recast you unless you're like, yeah. I mean, they can, but if you're the star of the show, it's hard.
Right.
And now, but also, right, like it's leveraged in that way. It's amortized. So in the first season or two, the network knows like, hey, we just put a lot of money out there. Like you shouldn't make a lot because we're here like taking a big risk.
Right.
But then if it gets into its third, fourth season, now the tables have turned and the actors and agents have been around long enough to go like, oh no, you're going to now sell this and make hundreds of millions of dollars so we can start asking for more.
Wow.
Long story short, I do this show. I have the greatest time with some of my favorite actors I've ever worked with.
Tom Cruise, Tom Denny, Matt Hardy.
All, yes. Everyone from the WWE Attitude Era. And everyone from the cast of Top Gun Maverick. And like months are going by and I'm like, wow, I'm now going to have a life. And then I'll never forget, it's like January and they go, Amazon wants to take you guys out to dinner. I go, I know what that means. I'm ordering the steak. And I remember I go there, we have dinner, and 2 days later they tell us that the show's not getting picked up.
Oh, wow.
And
did they not know at the time?
I thought it was very odd.
Mm.
Like, don't take me out to dinner to break up with me. Just do it over FaceTime or ghost me. Like my wife tried too many years ago. She keeps trying. But so this is like the longest winded story to say, like, that was 2013. That was like January, February of 2014, right?
Right.
So like when I tell you that like I made my first check in June or July on Vine, like 6 months later from Vine, like that's why that money meant so much. Cause again, like that was my life. Mm. Like between fucking August of 2013 and January of 2014, I was like, everything's gonna change. And then I get a call and nothing has changed. And if anything, I'm like, oh, that money that I wasn't, you know, I didn't go out and buy a Rolls Royce, but I'm like, that money that I thought was gonna now allow me to just take a deep breath ain't coming. It's back to asthma finances. And that's an actor's life. And then 2014, I get my first check from Vine. 2015, I get grandfathered with Sir John Stamos. We do get picked up. 20 eps on Fox all day. Life about to change. 2016, show's canceled. Back to social media grind.
That was 20 episodes, that show?
22.
Wow.
And that's an actor's life. And that's what people don't understand. Like, or at least, I mean, not that it's just so interesting, but it's, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's just so much more glamorization to it than what people really see.
Well, you can't plan. You just can't plan.
Did you get paid? We can cut this out. Did you get paid well with the John Stamos show?
Yeah, I mean, I think I made more than that Amazon show. But again, it was like, yeah, enough to like first time I like really socked away some money. And then 2017, 18, 19, it didn't work. So again, it's like, even if I was super smart and saved the money, it was like, if I hadn't been doing YouTube with you and social media, I would have been married and bugged out because I bought an engagement ring while I was ungrandfathered, not expecting not to get picked up.
Oh, really?
No, I wasn't worried about it. But, you know, it was like, because what was I going to do? Because the other option was to put my life on hold. And just to be like, yeah, I got a great girl. And yeah, I'm 30 and she's 26. And yeah, she's a good Catholic, so she won't live with me until I ask her to marry me. And yeah, that's going to be really hard because I hate a commute. But like, or yeah, I could be like, but I don't know if we're getting a second season, so I'm not going to like ask her to marry me, even though we've been together 5 years and it makes sense. It's an interesting... When are you going to get married?
Whenever the time's right.
What's that mean?
Whenever the time's right, my man.
I don't like that. That's too ephemeral. That's too like, a moment. It's not ephemeral. It's ethereal. It's too like, well, when the stars align, when the planet rotation is just right.
You know, when you meet the right person and things just happen and times move on. I'm already married.
Well, Tammy Topics is here.
Oh, can I throw out Tammy's other one that is on my phone and not yours?
Please do, Tamantha.
Okay, because I feel like we're just going to graze right over mine, but I find it interesting. A perfectly preserved baby mammoth that lived 30,000 years ago has been discovered. It's perfectly preserved. It looks like a little baby elephant. Insane.
That's a mammoth?
Yeah. Very cool. I think all that stuff from the Jurassic times is so interesting.
You like anything Jurassic? What wasn't there talk of bringing mammoths back, like the Jordan 4s?
There was. I don't think they ever actually did it, but they were going to like cross-reference it with an elephant and fill in the gaps of wherever the holes were.
Cross-reference it, really?
What? Isn't that it?
No.
I said it with confidence.
They're just going to go to an elephant and make sure they're down with it. We're just going to cross-reference.
Yo, I can't believe they still make ligers. Like a tiger lion baby?
Do they?
Yeah. Those are genetically modified. I also don't know what I'm saying. Never mind. They're not genetically modified. Humans force them to breed together.
You telling me a liger's a GMO?
They're non-GMO.
Here's one. Woman left with horrific injuries after cheap mommy makeover.
Mommy makeover?
A mom claimed she was left fighting for her life after a botched mommy makeover in Turkey. Tracy Marriott. Ooh, I wonder if she's part of the Marriott family.
I don't think she went to Turkey for her surgery, if that's the case.
Fair point. Tracy Marriott flew to Istanbul for a tummy tuck and boob job after being recommended a budget surgeon by her friends. The mom of three from Eastbourne, England, had hoped the cut price procedure would improve her self-confidence. Blah, 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 blah. It was $6,151 for the combined surgery, and the plan was to fly out there and stay in the hospital for 5 days, but I ended up having to book an additional flight because I was so unwell, and my husband, Dan, flew out to help me come home. It's crazy. I was in so much pain that one day they wheeled me down for some sort of x-ray without explaining what was happening to my health, apart from having abnormal blood levels. My mom video called me whilst I was in the hospital, and she said she could barely recognize me. I looked so unwell. Almost there. The mom of three added, when I finally came back home, I immediately went to the National Health Services of England, and they couldn't believe the stitching, the type of stitches, and how it was done. The doctor also said I had a lung infection. One day, not long after, I knocked one of my stitches and a hole appeared and all this stuff started to ooze out. Who's going to Turkey for a $6,100 tummy tuck?
How much is she saving going all the way there?
Not that I've had one, but $24,000.
Have you?
Yeah, I did, man. I had one when I was 22, 21.
And it was 30 G's?
I think all in, it was about 30.
Okay, I get that. Wow. Yeah, that's the scary part. I don't think I'd ever go to... I mean, maybe I would. I go to like Mexico and get some stuff done.
What's get some stuff done?
Have my hair, like a hair transplant. I'd go do my hair if I needed it.
In Mexico?
Yeah, I'd go, if it was like, if it was a fifth of the price, yeah.
Stop it. It's your head.
All right.
I'm not, and lest we, before anyone starts jumping to conclusions here, where we're making fun of other countries' levels of medical aptitude. I'm not. What I'm
saying, I am.
Joe is. What I'm saying is I'm fascinated why you would ever do anything budget-esque, be it in this country or anywhere else, when it comes to your appearance and or health.
Touche.
Granted, I'm talking to the kid who Grouponed some Botox into his armpits.
I actually would do that, yeah.
So what are we talking about here?
Dude, I wish I had Botox on my armpits this past weekend at VidCon. I was schwitzing out down to my knees.
You're crazy.
I was so sweaty. Do you sweat all the way down to the bottom of your shirt, like where your hips are ever?
Not me.
Just me?
It's just you. It's a just you thing.
Okay, see?
Maybe you need to re-up on the Botox.
Take me. Bring your YouTube channel back. What are you waiting for?
It's already back, and yeah.
Is it?
It will be once you start editing again and realize you need me. God. What do you, just ask for a raise.
Oh, fine. How much?
How much?
Let's do it right here on the air.
Okay.
Okay, how much?
Well, let's give some people some backstory. You were my editor for years. Randomly, out of nowhere, you were like, I'm done.
I got COVID.
And then what?
And then I needed time to myself.
It's been 2.5 years. You're milking this COVID thing. It's enough. You got every antibody under the fucking sun here. You double boosted. Get the fuck out of here. How many antibodies does this kid need?
All right.
You're letting COVID co-sign the worst part of your personality, aren't you? I got plenty of friends like you. I need my editor. A, because you know my style and so much of my greatness is because of you. And B, I can't trust anyone else in my raw footage. I'll get canceled.
Oh, man.
Well, that's all I need. Somebody will hand it to TMZ or the Perez Hilton or Dumois. I don't even know what that is, but I said it.
Okay, fine. I'll do it.
Here's what my fear. You're in a place right now where you wouldn't mind the extra money. As soon as that goes away in like another 10 days or 2 weeks, because you know it's coming, I know I'm going to have the uncomfortable conversation with you where I'm going to be like, hey, where's that footage I gave you a month ago? You'd be like, yeah, I'll get it to you, big guy.
I would never big guy you.
And you're going to leave me on friggin' red.
No.
Yes, you are.
Why don't you have Jonah edit it?
Jonah? What?
Okay, fine.
10% of my channel, but you really have to invest. Guys, I need you to rate this episode 5 stars on the Apple Podcast Store and put in the reviews whether or not you think Joe should become my editor and get 10% of my channel, but he's going to have to put in 100% of the work on the channel.
Should we see if we got
come any, with ideas.
Should we see if we got any good reviews on our pod?
Stop changing the topic.
We have 716 reviews now.
Yeah, it's all because of me, because I thought of that segment where we asked people to comment.
Yeah, it wasn't original. You took it from
Carl Jacobs.
You took it from Carl Jacobs. Did you already finish your first video?
Well, no, because I want you to be in a segment of it.
Oh, okay.
But pretty much. Okay. It's easy. Crazy new style for my videos. It's me eating in a car. I know, that's really going to weigh heavily on you with all your sick transitions, Joe. You fucker. Do we have to finish the cliffhanger from last week?
Yeah. What was your Clifford cliffhanger from last week?
My Clifford cliffhanger was that unfortunately, on my trip to Italy with my wife, her luggage was slightly misplaced for 3 to 4 days during our trip.
Just hers, not yours?
Yeah, because your boy don't check.
Oh, neither do I, man!
Let's go!
Yo, we should get married. Sorry.
On the next episode of Male Models.
Are we?
Well, I can't today, but I'm down to start planning. I love a wedding.
Wait, so what happened? So it just got misplaced and it was just a nightmare?
Yeah, and I basically was like in random Italian Walmarts buying my wife like underwear and stuff because she was all pregnant and couldn't do things. And so I was out there looking like a creep in a Italian Walmart being like, a thong? Just basically trying to say thong in a Italian accent because I didn't know how to say it any other way.
And no one knew like the language while you were trying to fix everything?
No, and I just felt like just a bad guy. It just was terrible.
Can you imagine?
I'm sorry, Paige, I just told the world you wear thongs, but like I think that's like probably a good thing. Right? Do you have full brief?
Do you have...
Today's shout out goes to the review from Dorian. Good pod. The more I listen, the more I realize how likable Josh Peck is. Joe, you cool too, but he's definitely the star. Also, Josh sounds like he constantly has spit on the corner of his mouth.
Do you?
You have a lisp.
Oh, you do.
Thank you. Thanks, Dorian. If you want to get on the pod and get a shout out, just rate our pod 5 stars on the Apple Podcast Store and write us a review.
We look forward to reading it.